Good morning, everybody. It's always great to be here, and it is a privilege to speak to you. We've been looking over these last few weeks at hearing God's voice, because if we're really going to move on in Him, and we're going to be the people that He wants us to be, then we need to be able to hear His voice along the way. And so we've looked at some people in the Bible who've heard God's voice, and we've looked at some of the ways in which over the centuries God has spoken to His people. And Phil said a couple of weeks ago that the most usual way that we hear God's voice is through His word, and that's right. And John looked at something last week of what that word says to us as His disciples, and he asked us, are you listening? Are you listening to what he says? I think sometimes it's easy to read the Bible and kind of dismiss it and not take it personally, if you like, as we read. Someone recently said that people like to call themselves Christians, but they don't want to be Christ-like, because that's so much harder to be. And so I want to look at this week, hearing God's voice through people, because God sometimes uses people, and we need to see how he does it sometimes. Be aware that he uses people. It might be through a sermon, but it might be to us personally along the way. And so we're going to listen to Acts chapter 8 and see Philip's experience with the Ethiopian eunuch.
An angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kadat, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I, unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So, from beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing.
Thank you. Philip was a man of God. He knew God's voice, and he heard him speaking to him. And twice God speaks to him in this passage. First, through the angel who asks him to move on. And secondly, through the Holy Spirit, who says, go over and walk along beside the carriage. We need to hear God's voice when we're working for him, when we're doing things for him. Philip was having a really successful ministry where he was. He was in Samaria, and it says in verse 4 of that chapter, the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and to see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they came out of their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And so Philip is exercising a really powerful ministry in Samaria and seeing some amazing things happen and seeing miracles and seeing people saved along the way. And then an angel comes and tells him to move on. And I don't know if that was a hard decision for Philip at the time, because he was being so fruitful in that place. Sometimes we don't understand why God asks us to do something we can't see, or to take something from us, if you like, that's working really well. We may even try to convince ourselves that it's not God we're hearing from. How would he do that? But God could see what Philip couldn't. He could see a bigger picture. This eunuch was a man of influence in a foreign government, and this was the beginning of the word getting in to Africa. But it was also about the man. It was about God's bigger plan. But it was about this man who was totally seeking the Lord, wholeheartedly looking for answers that he didn't quite understand. And you know, it says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 12, these words, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. You will find me." And when we seek after God with all our hearts, he does listen. And he does answer our prayers. And he answered the prayers of this eunuch who was really seeking wholeheartedly to understand more about who this God was and what he was doing. And so as Philip opens up to him the scriptures, the Ethiopian knows that it's God that's speaking to him. Through this man, he knows that God is speaking to him. And God saw, if you like, his seeking heart, and he sends Philip along. And so he responds immediately to the word that he hears. He sees God's plan for him in the words that Philip is saying, and so he is saved. And then he wants to be baptized. For Philip, he heard God's voice and he didn't doubt it. He didn't doubt it. He moved on straight away, even though he was having a great success in the ministry where he was. And he has an amazing time with this Ethiopian eunuch along the way. And something is done there of permanence for the kingdom of God that Philip wouldn't fully understand at that point. But God is using him. And then the Holy Spirit snatches him from where he was. Job done in that place. And plants him in another place. How amazing is that for God to move on you like that? So God uses people to speak his word into our lives. And God used Philip to speak to this eunuch. Josiah was a godly king. The Bible says he was one of the finest, most holy men in Israel, or king, that Israel or Judah ever had. It says that in 2 Kings 23. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart, there's them words again, all his soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses, and there has never been a king like him since. Here was a really spiritual man who understood God's law and wanted with all his heart to obey it. He did so much in that land when he became king. He established again the temple worship. He cleansed the place of idols. The people had been worshipping idols, and he renewed the covenant with the Lord. When he discovered the holy book in the temple, it was brought to Josiah, and he began to read it, and he was absolutely mortified for the way that God had been so maligned. He was horrified at how they had, the people had offended God with the way they had lived. And it says that in 2 Kings 23, then the king summoned, this is Josiah, all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. And there the king read to them the entire book of the covenant. That must have been a real long session. But he read to them the entire book of the covenant in the Lord's presence. He pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. And in this way, he confirmed the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, and all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So we're talking here about a godly man. We're talking here about, as always already been outlined in this passage, one of the finest, most holy kings that Israel and Judah ever had. But there's always a but along the way. In 2 Chronicles 35, we read these words. After Josiah had finished restoring the temple, King Necho of Egypt led his army up from Egypt to do battle at Carchemish on the Euphrates River. And Josiah and his army marched out to fight him. But King Necho sent messages to Josiah with the sent messengers to Josiah with this message. What do you want with me, King of Judah? I've no quarrel with you today. I'm on my way to fight another nation, and God has told me to hurry. Do not interfere with God who is with me, or he will destroy you. But Josiah refused to listen to Necho, to whom God had indeed spoken. And he would not turn back. Instead, he disguised himself and led his army into battle on the plain of Megiddo. But the enemy archers hit King Josiah with their arrows and wounded him. And he cried out to his men, "Take me from the battle, for I am badly wounded." So they lifted Josiah out of his chariot and placed him in another chariot. Then they brought him back to Jerusalem, where he died. He was buried there in the royal cemetery, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. Josiah died needlessly because he failed to recognize God at work. He was such a godly man in lots of ways and had done so much good. But when God's word came to him, he failed to hear it. He failed to hear it. Instead of watching what was going on around and respecting what God was doing, he interfered. He failed to recognize God's voice. It's such a hard thing not to hear his voice and to carry on in our own way. And he thought he knew best, and his actions led to his death. You see, God wasn't using a pagan nation. He was using Egypt to fight the enemies of Judah. It was ultimately for their good. But Josiah pitches in and starts fighting Egypt, which was never a good plan at all. Pharaoh Necho brought that word to Josiah, and he didn't listen. And I want to ask you this morning, when God uses somebody to bring his word to you, are you particular about who it is? Do you dismiss a word on the basis of someone's age, someone's level of spirituality, their race? Do you dismiss a word because it's not who you expected to tell you something from God? Josiah ignored Necho's message because of who Necho was. He was a pagan king of a pagan nation. He assumed that Necho couldn't be part of God's larger plan, and it cost him his life. He didn't test the word. He didn't ask advice of those that were close to him. Don't let false assumptions and prejudice blind you to God's message. Instead, listen to it. Test it. Whenever anybody offers you a word, test it. Sit down with the Lord and dwell on it. Ask those who you respect to help you there, that you might weigh up what is being said. You know, not everyone who claims to have a message from the Lord really does. And we need to understand that too. But don't dismiss a word out of hand until you've tested it out. Otherwise, you might miss the difference that God wants to make in your life. Esther was queen, and her people, the Jews, were under threat of being wiped out. Mordecai asks her to go to the king to plead for their lives. Now, Esther's unsure. She says, hang on a minute. You don't go into the king unless he summons you. He hasn't summoned me for over a month. And when he goes, you go into his presence, he has to hold out the scepter, or you are wiped out. You will die. And Mordecai sends her a word of exhortation. And he says to her, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief from the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? Heather wasn't rebelling against the word. She was just hesitant. She needed that word of exhortation from Mordecai. And he spurs her on, and she goes ahead to do what God has called her to do with great results at that time. David sinned against the Lord in adultery and murder. And the Lord sends Nathan the prophet with a word of rebuke. Ooh, I hate words of rebuke, but we all need them sometimes. And you know, he comes with a story. He doesn't just come straight out with it to David. He comes with a story that gets David incensed. It's a story of a poor man with only a little lamb and a rich man who's got loads of lambs and sheep. And yet the rich man takes the poor man's lamb for a sacrifice. And David is incensed by the story. Tell me who it is. They need to be punished. And Nathan says this, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel. I saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that hadn't been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. And Nathan comes with this word, which must have been hard for him to say to the king of the day. And he brings that word, you know, because God loved David. He called him a man after God's own heart. And David had still work to do for him. And he wanted to bring David into that place of usefulness again. So he brings that word of rebuke so that David can put himself right before the Lord. I had a particularly hard week with Eddie one week. It was a lot of struggles, although Eddie was always so pleasant, nonetheless, just dealing with the things I had to deal with. It was hard that particular week. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, I need a hug. The next day, I received a card through the post. On the front of it, it had a cuddly teddy bear, and it said, when you need a hug. And inside was a word of encouragement. God is speaking to his children all the time, because he loves us. Are you listening? He uses people to speak into your life and into mine. When the Ethiopian eunuch was seeking the Lord, he moves Philip out of that really successful ministry. He moved Philip to go and speak to that man and to bring the word of salvation that he sought at that time. When Josiah was moving in the wrong direction, God sent a word through Pharaoh Necho, but Josiah ignored it. When Esther was overwhelmed with the situation she and her people were in, God used Mordecai to bring that word of exhortation to spur her on in her calling and to see great things happen, which it was great victory for the Jews. And when David, that man after God's own heart, lost his way and sinned, God sent Nathan to help him, to see what he'd done, to bring him to that place of repentance. When I needed a hug from God, he sent it. He moved a person. He perhaps even did it before I had prayed that prayer, because I got it the next morning. He moved on a person to say just the right thing, to let me know he'd heard my prayer. God is speaking to us all the time. Can you hear him? Are you open to God using people to speak into your life? Or are you picky about who he uses? I was picky years ago. A young person came and told me something. I can't even remember what it was. And in my thought bubble, I didn't say anything, but in my thought bubble, it was, who are you to tell me? That was my attitude. And you know, straight back into my head came God, who are you to tell me who I can use to speak to you? It was a lesson to me then, and I've never forgotten it since. We need to be open to God speaking into our lives. It might be a word of encouragement. It might be a word of exhortation. You might just need that spur on in what you're doing at this time. That prod will keep you going. It may be that you need a word of rebuke. You know, God disciplines those he loves, and we all need a word of rebuke at some point. Are you open to that as well? Are you open to somebody saying something that you don't really want to hear? When you come on a Sunday, are you expecting God to speak to you? Not just through the sermon, but through the worship. through the prayers, through the people that we share fellowship with? Do you actually come expecting that God will speak into your life? Have you had a word given to you and you've dismissed it? You've dismissed it because of who they are or because you didn't want to hear it? Sometimes we can do that. Josiah wasn't ready for that word from a pagan king, even though it even made sense. If he'd have only thought about it for a minute, it made sense. He wasn't fighting them, and they were fighting his enemies. It made sense. The psalmist says this, "Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart." Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that when we seek you with all our heart, we will find you. You want us to be found by you. Father, you don't fail us. You don't forsake us. When we're in need of encouragement, Lord, you will provide it. Lord, when we're in need of rebuke, help us to listen. Help us to be open at all times, Lord, to you speaking to us in whatever way you choose. Help us not to dismiss anything that we feel comes from you, that we sit and we weigh it up, and we even ask somebody else to help us weigh it up. Lord, give us listening ears. You speak to your children every day. What have you said to us this last month? Lord, do we know? Can we put our finger on what words we've had from you, on what you've asked us to do, on what guidance you've given? Father, we pray that we will hear your word and we will listen and we will obey what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen.